Can I ask you how many of you in your church have a prayer meeting that meet midweek? Could you raise your hand? Have a prayer meeting? Great. Because, you know, across the board, there's a when I talk to pastors, a lot of the prayer meetings are being moved, combined, or at worst, faded out. And that's sad. I'm thankful that in the Spotswood Chapel, our prayer meeting is, it's our most important meeting, where we lay hold, and it's the powerhouse of the church. And especially in Newark, you need to have that and to come together. What our prayer meetings have done for us is made us a body of Christ. We started out 20 years ago, meeting in our apartment in Old Bridge, and we were just a few, but we prayed, and we at that time I think there were like just about four of us, no, five of us, six maybe, praying in our apartment, and I don't know what was, we were asking God for a building. There was just six of us starting to, you know, come together, sent from Kingsbury, we're asking God for a building. Then it grew a little bit, and we would meet there every Monday night, and somewhere in the course of the prayer meeting, we'd be asking for a building. Someplace to meet out there in the Spotswood area, Old Bridge, Spotswood area. What happened, though, after this prayer popped up now and then in these Monday night prayer meetings, suddenly the Lord moved that from wanting a building to God, make us a building. And we began to pray that would be a building, a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that God would make us a body of Christ. And He's done that. We still don't have a building. In fact, just this next month, we're going to not get our building, but we're finally getting a parking lot in. Because the town said, if you can build a parking lot, then you can build a building. It's government at its best. And, you know, right? This is how it works. And so through all the bureaucracy, we're finally starting our parking lot. And it all worked out good because we needed the money for the parking lot first. So keep us in your prayers. We've grown from 5 to about 80 people. And we are ready for a building. We meet in a school, and we're ready. And God knows it, and he hears prayer. But that prayer meeting is so important. It's so important that we get to it. It's nice if your church has one, but then we have to get to it too, right? And pray and trust the Lord. I grew up in the Kingsburg Pentecostal Church. Many of you know that. And Monday nights was prayer meeting night. And my mother, who's here, she saw to it that she dragged all five and then six of her kids to prayer meeting. And we would meet in the back room of Kingsburg in a little bigger than the, what do they call that? The library, the extra prayer room, you know. And it was tight, you know. It was tight in there to where your feet touched, and especially when my mother with her family, remember that room, Mom? Brought her kids in there. It was shoulder to shoulder, but boy, real prayers went up. And for us kids, it was the worst night of the week because it was prayer meeting night. We knew we were going to have to be shoved into this little room. And the only good thing was that the best place to have a belly laugh is at prayer meeting because you're not supposed to. So I would look over at my brother Roy, you know, and he'd be making some sort of facial thing at me. And, you know, next thing you know... And then my mother would give us the death look, you know. At least we would die in prayer meeting. But you know, but I'll tell you something. In that crowded little room, God worked in us. He really worked in us. And even though I was kind of dragged there year after year, I'm thankful to my mother that she did. You know, I didn't have this resentment thing that we often hear about. Well, if you force them, they're going to grow up to hate it. Never happened to me or any of my... In fact, all of my siblings go to church and go to prayer meetings. We saw wonders in that prayer meeting that maybe we wouldn't have seen. We saw God answer prayer from those prayer meetings that we maybe would have missed, you know? So I'm thankful we were there, and at the times we were paying attention. We even learned to pray. And, you know, something happened, though. I got to tell you this. Something happened. One person said, you know, if we continue to meet in this small room, it's getting crowded, then I'm not coming anymore. So Sister Grace Schultheis had to do something. She had to get us out, and she moved the prayer meeting to the sanctuary. And, I to this day, I have made a solemn vow that in Spotswood, we are always going to be on top of each other in a prayer meeting, shoulder to shoulder, you know, because there's something to that where you're joined. You're forced to almost agree together. It's either agree together or you get out, right? So it's good. And growing up in prayer meetings, I noticed... and I mentioned this last year, different type of prayers, but I also noticed different type of prayers. I just wanted to briefly tonight, before we go to prayer, just share with you some of my observations. I noticed I should say this first. I noticed something growing up in prayer meetings that Satan doesn't like us to pray. And if he can, he'll prevent us from praying. I don't know if I've met one young person yet. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I did meet one person. I did, now that it comes to mind. But that I haven't met many who said, I love to pray, you know? And I just, it always seems like a battle and a fight. Why is that? Because prayer is the biggest threat to the kingdom of darkness. It tears down the walls of darkness. A young person who learns to pray is a threat to the kingdom of darkness, is a threat to the kingdom of the enemy. And we need to learn to pray that way. And I saw that, and I saw why it was a threat. Here's just some. Prayer expresses dependence when we pray. Prayer is abiding. Prayer is an emotional anchor. I found that in my life. You know, when you're ready to go off the handle, when it's just all convoluted, if you go to prayer, God settles you, gets you into peace. And when God brings you into peace, guess what? You get answers, don't you? Prayer is a source of wisdom. We need that today. But mostly I saw that prayer brings change. And not only to the situation, but mostly to us. And that's important as well. But here are some of the prayers I noticed. In growing up in the prayer meeting, there was the very religious prayer, and you could tell. Maybe you'd recognize it. It's the prayer that kind of goes like this. It kind of goes, and I'm not going to describe the person, but I remember I could always tell who it was because it was, "Oh God, our Father." You know? I'm serious. "You're awesome and mighty and great." And it was a very intellectual, it was very religious prayer. "You're able to meet us this evening as we come before you in humility and greatness of your great grace." And that, I remember saying as a kid, that's a religious prayer. And every week I would look forward to I'd wait for it. "Oh God, our Father." And I knew who it was, and I said, "They're very good." But then there was, you know, then there was the person who I called the exasperated prayer. They were the person who prayed, and they were always out of breath. "Oh God, we're thankful, and we're grateful you're here today, and you're going to help us." And it was always, you didn't know what they were praying, but you knew they were losing their breath, and it was very, very, you know. And we would discuss this. My brother and I said, "Yeah, that's an exasperated prayer." That's how we label it. But then there was the prayer that I called the emergency prayer, and it was sort of like the person came in late and didn't have time to think about it, but they were praying. And I didn't mean to make fun of them, but I just noticed that this was the different types of folks who came in, and they were just like all they could say was, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And like I said, not to make fun of them, but that's all they could get out. And that's okay. But then, in our prayer meetings down there in Kingsbury, there came a prayer by one person, by Sister Grace Schulteis. You know, and I entitled it the deliberate prayer. It was different, you know? What I mean by deliberate prayer is this. It was like premeditated. It was offensive, you know? It was pushing forward. And it was intelligent and it was bold. And it was by the Holy Spirit. It was a deliberate prayer. And when she would pray that prayer, you know, it wasn't just, God, we need help. It was with all her might. Let me say that again. It was premeditated. It was offensive. And it was intelligent and bold. And it meant business. It wasn't just hopeful. It wasn't just out of just in an emergency or just out of her emotions. She meant business with the kingdom of God. And you knew something was going to change. I'm thankful that in Spotswood, we have some folks who have learned how to pray a rather deliberate prayer to God. One gentleman, Jim Kranga, a couple years back, he began to pray a deliberate prayer. Premeditated. He thought about this prayer. You know? He gave a little thought in it. And he began to pray to God for his son, Jimmy. We used to meet on Thursday nights. And every Thursday night, Lord, I believe you to get a hold of my son, Jimmy. Pull him out of the world. He would pray that prayer. You know where his son, Jimmy, is now? His son, Jimmy, is one of our youth leaders. And, you know him, don't you? And a great man. God really got a hold of him. There's something to praying deliberately. Praying with all your might. I want to just share one before we go to prayer. Would you like to see a good one that's found in the Bible? There's many of them. But if you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles, here is someone who prayed a deliberate prayer. And he had a situation to pray this prayer. Take a look at this tonight. It's chapter 20, 2 Chronicles. Maybe you've been in a similar situation and felt the same way that Jehoshaphat felt. When we get to chapter 20, by this time, if you read about Jehoshaphat, you realize that he's made some reforms in the kingdom of Israel. He's done the right things, pulled things together. You know, the enemy doesn't like that. Any time that you get earnest and say, you know, I'm going to follow the Lord wholeheartedly, you're going to get some flack from the enemy. And he did. Take a look at what it says. It says in the first verse of chapter 20, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. He got up one morning and he found enemies on his doorstep. It says here in the second verse, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, and look at this report, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. Did you ever have that happen? Where it's like one report after another? You know? The Ammonites show up on your doorstep. You right? Well, what was Jehoshaphat's reaction? Let's take a look. Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. Can you relate to that? I know you can. You know? It just shows up. It's a phone call. It's a doorbell ringing. You know? And then you have all these enemies. And what's your reaction? You fear. How many of you have ever gotten such a report that you got fear filled? Could you just? I'm not alone here tonight. Okay, I'm shaking in my boots up here. Good. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I mean, you don't just read this and just go, oh, you know what he's going through then, right? where you can't even get your thoughts straight. It's like, this can't be happening. It's one after another. And he feared, but I want to show you something. And this is where we've got to take the things that God has been teaching us, that he has taught us, that he is teaching us, that he will teach us, and apply them. I find so many, sometimes, they hear this stuff, and it goes, you know, they don't get it. Then when the enemy shows up on their doorstep, they don't know what to do. Jehoshaphat knew what to do. There's two things we read he did. Yeah, he feared. He wasn't a Superman, you know? He wasn't one of the, you know, we get this idea that sometimes the saints are these, like, you know, they have no emotions, they don't feel anything, they're just in the... He feared. But look what he did. This was his reaction out of his fear. He set himself to seek the Lord, number one. Is that your reaction? You know? Has God done enough work in you that when the enemy shows up on your doorstep, your first reaction, yes, is to be fearful, but then to say, you know what? I'm going to set my mind to seek the Lord. And what's the second thing he did? Well, it tells us there. It says, he set himself to seek the Lord, and then he proclaimed the fast throughout Judah. You know what he did? I love this. Jehoshaphat said, I'm scared to death, but I'm going to set myself. That means get yourself by the collar and go, you're going to seek the Lord. And then number two, he's not going to proclaim how scared and how frightened he is. He's going to proclaim a fast. He's going to use the tools God gave him, the spiritual weapons. I find so many folks who grow up in church never really learn how to use spiritual weapons that God has, that they've been taught in Sunday school, you know? We need to learn these things. He set his mind to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. Well, look what happens next. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, don't miss this. Verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, our God, our fathers. I want you to look at this, because what he does, the first thing he does, is not describe every enemy on his doorstep. You know? Lord, the Ammonites, they're big, they're ugly. They're nasty buggers, Lord. You know? And they're shaking their fist and they got kind of weapons. They look like the orcs. You know, he's not saying that, right? He's not saying it. He's not talking about the Moabites. Because so often we do that to God. What does he do? Now, please just take a look at this. Let's look at verse 7. Look at how he begins. Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? Verse 8. And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon. See, now he's going to talk to God about these people. Here's the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. You know, before you start describing the enemy to God, talk to God about God. Get a good side of him. God, you're awesome. You're mighty. When I worship the Lord, I like to not just go hallelujah 500 times, but I like to describe him. He is my redeemer. He is my reconciliation. He is my sanctification. And I see how awesome and what a mighty salvation we have. Then I tell God about the things, the enemy. That's what Jehoshaphat did. But here's the prayer. Here is the deliberate prayer that I've used, that I have found to be a comfort to me and a help to me. I'm sharing with you tonight. And I hope you get this. You know, I'm not just up here to talk. So I hope you really get this. I want you to get this. In fact, I hope the Holy Spirit gives this to you. And when you get home, a Moabite shows up at your doorstep. And you're able to say, you know, the Holy Spirit taught me something. And you'll be able to use this prayer. It's not my prayer. It's a deliberate prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed. And what I love about it is that we all can start on this, on the level he started. You ready? Take a look at what he prayed. In verse 12. O our God, will you not judge them? And here it is, number one. For we have no power against them. You can start there, can't you? Can't you say that? Right? It's easy to say, you know, you're not going to go to the Lord and say, God, I've got great faith, I'm ready to fight. Right? You can't say that. But he starts out by saying, this prayer says, we have no power. And we can all relate to that. Well, he says, we have no power against them, against this great multitude that is coming against us. And here's the second part. Nor do we know what to do. Have you ever been in a situation and just didn't know what to do? You know, I stood beside a hospital bed a lot of times, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I remember one time visiting my mother. You know, we really thought we were going to lose her. I said, Lord, I feel powerless, and I don't know what to do. And you know, it's rough when you don't know what to do. And prayer is tough when you don't know what to do. I find it much easier when I map it out to God, don't you? When you got this great plan, this scheme, when you got this, you know, God, we could do this, back it up. Don't you find that easier? But when you go, when you're praying and you say, God, I don't know what to do, it's sometimes hard to find faith for that. But with this wonderful prayer, this deliberate prayer, he says, we don't have any power. We don't know what to do. But look at the last part. Because this is where Jehoshaphat wins the battle. He says, but our eyes are upon you. Do you see? God gave him this prayer. It's a three-step prayer. He admits there's no power. He admits that he doesn't know what to do. So he does what he needs to do, and that's to have his eyes on God. Now, how are you at that? How are you at being able to turn your eyes to God in a need? You know, we need to get this, folks. Because like tonight we're going to go to prayer for some folks, and we don't need to describe the enemy, but we need to get our eyes on God and say, what are you able to do? Let me show you how God will appreciate and use a deliberate prayer, where you think about it, where you go at it with purpose and with might. You want to see what God will do? Look, this is what he did for Jehoshaphat. 14. Then. See that? Amen? You know, let me know you're there at least.
Yes.
Okay, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say it a few times, I'm feeling better.
Amen.
Thank you. Because for a minute there, I was going to have to pray, Lord, I have no power, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. So thank you for being here. Look. As soon as he prayed that prayer, you have to get this. But better yet, you've got to try this. As soon as he says this prayer, 14 says, then, the word of the Lord comes to him. You've got to see how significant that is. Because you could wait around forever for the word of the Lord. Jehoshaphat might have waited around forever. It says, when he prayed this prayer, then a word of the Lord came. And what was the word? Goes down to 15. Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You know, you can quote that, and I hear folks sometimes quote that so much, the battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. And they're quoting something they heard, and that's wonderful. I don't mean to minimize that or belittle that, but it's something different when you've prayed a deliberate prayer and you've called on God and you've said, God, I don't have any power and I don't know what to do, but I'm keeping my eyes on you. Then when the Word of God comes, when the Holy Spirit speaks right into your heart, don't worry about it. The battle's not yours. You know what's going to happen? It's not just going to be an exasperated prayer that you prayed. It's not going to be like an emergency prayer. It's going to be a prayer where now God is speaking into. God is responding to. God is giving a specific word about. And he told them, don't worry, this battle is the Lord's. And what happens? Well, I don't want to drag it out too much tonight, but in 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And then the Levites stand, and they stand together. You know, he got the whole congregation. You know, when you pray a deliberate prayer, the whole body of Christ responds to it. And that's what happened here. When you pray in the Holy Spirit and you call on the Lord, I'll tell you, the whole body of Christ responds and gets behind it. And that's what happened here. They all stood together. And then look at let's go to 20. So they rose early in the morning and they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and he said, he gives them some instructions. Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe the Lord, your God, and you shall be established. And here's the second part. Then believe his prophets. Believe those who minister. Believe the word of exhortation, and you shall prosper. And you know how this story ends. He says, well, we got to finish it, right? And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, 22, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Yeah, they all got wiped out. Because that's what happens when you pray a deliberate prayer in the Holy Spirit. And to conclude tonight, when you worship. Yes. And I want can you bear with me? Just give me 5 minutes more to conclude with the wonderful victory that Jehoshaphat had. And I want to ask a rhetorical question here, so don't raise your hand. But I wonder how many of you come from a church where they have audible praise, where you worship out loud. I do. And in fact, I get in trouble sometimes. I had one trustee say to me, Pastor Keith, why don't you just encourage people to praise by example? Because I'm always saying, let's worship the Lord. I wouldn't want to be there that day. I wouldn't want to be Jehoshaphat and be with a group of people saying, we're going to go out there. And this is what we have to do. We have to worship the Lord. And then folks didn't do it. Imagine that, what a day that would have been. I want to encourage you to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord. You know, and the young people here. And you might say, well, we don't do that at home. We sing and we worship the Lord that way. But I want to encourage you while you're here at camp to say, praise the Lord. I worship you, Lord. You know, Hebrews talks about the sacrifice of our lips. And it's okay. I won't write letters to your home church and say, oh, you know what they were doing? You know? I say sometimes Sunday morning in the chapel, I say to sometimes we had the visitors, and I say, you know, I'm sorry, folks, but you're probably going to go home and say, all they did there was praise God. Like it was the worst thing on earth. Right? But there's victories that are won when you open your mouth and say, praise the Lord. You don't have to try to shout louder than anybody else. That's not what it's about. But there is something to voicing and declaring and decreeing the greatness of God. And so I'm going to be encouraging you this week. Don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you. But how can you sit in the presence of Jesus and not say anything to His glory? Because He's here. And not only that, we see here that there's victory to that. So, whether we're a few or many, praise the Lord. Worship Him. Give Him glory to His name. Take a vacation from whatever you're used to, you know, in that sense. And just say, Jesus, I worship You and I praise You. Let's do that. Let's let the Lord be glorified in our midst. Tonight when we pray, when we come together, I'm going to ask us, you know, to go to our knees. I'm going to ask you not to zone out. Because there's some needs here, and you know, we need to pray some deliberate prayers. Say, God, we don't know what You're going to do. We don't know about the situation. But our eyes are on You tonight. I'm going to ask you if maybe you don't normally pray out, to get out of that habit too and help us pray. You know? Join together. It's a terrible thing if we were in a rescue boat and only one person was rowing. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Right? We need to row together and believe God has put us together at this time and for that purpose. So let's do that. Will you stand with me? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, dear Jesus. Oh, God. We worship You. Before we go to prayer, let's just again turn our eyes to Him. Oh, Jesus, we worship You. Lamb of God, hallelujah, our great King. Thank You, dear Jesus. You are wonderful. We worship You, Lamb of God. Oh, Jesus, we praise You. We praise You. We glorify Your name. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, King of kings and Lord of lords. You reign, oh, God. You are almighty. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank You, dear God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord.
Wonderful Jesus.
We worship You, dear Jesus. Let's, you know, there's something to join the hands in and being in one accord. Let's believe the Lord for this camp.
Amen.
You know, let's really just join hearts and in faith. I don't know you, but I got an idea. The enemy don't care for this camp much. You know what I'm saying? But God loves it. And I'm going to ask us to just lay hold tonight that God will do a work down in that village. He'll supply every need, you know, all the way around. Let's just call on the name of the Lord. Oh, God, come, Lord Jesus. Father, we call on Your name. We call on Your name, oh, God. We ask You, dear Jesus. Lord, You come. You, Lord Jesus, You come to this camp. Lord, keep this camp under the blood, we pray. Oh, Father God, we ask, Lord God, that You will. Lord, move in a mighty way. Move in a mighty way, Lord Jesus. We believe You to do it, dear Father. Oh, God, oh, Savior, Jesus. Lord God, oh, God, you, dear Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank You, Lord.
More than oh, thank You, dear Jesus. Thank You, Father. We believe You. We call on Your mighty name, oh God. We call on Your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Oh God. Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. You are a great and mighty and awesome God. And Lord, You're just the same today. Lord,
yes.
And we believe, oh Father, that You have done wonders and will do wonders in this camp.
Amen.
We've seen them, we've known, we've heard, and God, we want to ask tonight, Lord God, that you will once again, in a mighty way, visit this camp.
Yes.
Lord, we want to begin by asking that you'll move down in that village.
Yes.
Lord God, that you'll send forth the Holy Spirit in a mighty way. For those who don't know you, Lord, that you'll knock hard on their heart's door until they respond. Oh, give them every opportunity to say yes to the gospel. We pray, God, for those who have received you, that they'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, God. We pray you'll equip each one of those counselors, Lord, and equip them tonight. Lord, build them up in their most holy faith. Dear Lord, don't let them settle for just okay, but let God, we pray, they'll believe you for an over-top time with those children, we pray. And in the cottage there, Jesus, that you'll do that, Lord. Meet those young people. Oh, Father, we pray, pour out your Spirit on those young ones. Let them know the truth that they were created. Lord, they're loved and redeemed.
Yes.
And that, God, you're closer than they could ever imagine. We believe you to do that. We pray, Father, God, that you will come to every guest that comes on these grounds. Lord God, that you'll meet them. Lord, in the meetings, outside the meetings. Lord, in the dining room. Lord, everywhere they are, that Jesus will be manifested to them. Mm-hmm. You made that promise, Lord. We pray, God, that that'll be so. That they'll find it absolutely true. We ask, oh God, for every staff member. You didn't bring them up here, Lord, just to just do a work. We know that's important, and thank you, Lord God, for their willingness, but you also want to meet them.
Yes.
Oh, God, we pray that their hearts will be open. They'll be expecting, dear Jesus, that you're going to speak and work Lord, make them a great blessing to this place. We believe you to do that. And all the workers, Lord, we lift them up. We pray, God, about this nurse situation. Now, Lord, it's your camp. And God, you know this camp can't operate without a nurse. We're bound by the laws, and you see the necessity of that. And God, if you want the camp to go on, then you have to supply that nurse.
Yes.
And so we pray, God, that you'll do that. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll absolutely, we ask you to supply that need.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, in all of the staff needs, you're able.
Yes, you are.
You are able. We pray, God, too, that you'll send by the power of the Holy Spirit a great wave of encouragement over all those who bear the burden of this camp.
Amen.
Lord, who organize, who need to get the staff, we pray that you'll encourage their hearts.
Yes.
We trust you to do it, Lord Jesus. We pray, God, that you will just keep this camp this night under the blood of Jesus Christ. What a pavilion. Hallelujah. We thank you for that. Keep every camper, every staff, every guest, Lord Jesus, under the blood of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we thank you that you heard our prayers tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you are mindful of us. And Lord Jesus, we want to be more and more mindful of you. And we ask that you'll give us a night of rest. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that again, for these that we prayed for, particularly that are in the hospital, and that the Lord, that even this night they'll feel the strength and might of the Holy Spirit upon their bodies. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.